I know that today I'm sharing something important because I am deeply under attack. And I have been this week, and I have actually been for quite a number of months, but this week's been a doozy. So before I speak, I want to pray again, quite specifically now. Father, I ask that each person in this room today would have open hearts to hear what you have to say through me. Lord, would you wash away preconceptions? And would you help each person here to understand and know that they have been set free from tithing, an old covenant giving, and instead that they have been invited into generosity, giving from all that we have to move into the joy of living a life in deeper relationship with you. In Jesus' name. So I am speaking on generous hearts being a joyful gift. If you didn't see a post that Toe put up on 4D this week, he encouraged each of us to listen to a podcast by Tyler Stanton, who's from Bridgetown Church in Portland. I can't encourage you enough. After today, would you please go on to 4D, click that link and have a listen, because it will follow this up really nicely and say things that I actually just don't have time to speak to you about today. If you're not in 4D, get in it. Oh, do I have the clicky thing? I don't have the clicky thing. Thank you, clicker.
So this is 2 Corinthians 9:6-9. I hope you can hear me because I can't hear myself. There we go. The point is this. Whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Each one must give as he decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. As it is written, he has distributed freely, he has given to the poor, his righteousness endures forever.
Thank you, Lucy. Last year, we looked at a series called Our Generous God between November and December. If you missed it, jump on the website, have a listen. Maria started us off and looked at how early Christians gave generously to their local ministries. Oh, thank you, Keith. Click. There we go. Sorry, it's all very small because I don't want to click too many times. Maria explored how the early Christian church, in their generous giving, found it such a privilege that they gave from their poverty to share in the service to the saints. Toe followed this by looking at how the heart of a thriving church is a missional church. And Simon rounded us off, walking us through Isaiah 54, and that God's big plan is blessing and faithfulness, and that sometimes God's promises can seem far away, and yet looking through Isaiah 54, we see that fruitfulness begins in the context of barrenness. And through that series, we looked at what it is that we can generously give as individuals, as families. We looked at time and effort, our thoughts, our money, our energy. So, I have the privilege today of asking you the question, when we give money, particularly to church, what are we giving to? Our community looks different to the early church, so what are we giving to? The early church gave to each other for the benefit of each other and others beyond them. And in fact, they became known as people of generosity. And they probably didn't break down everything that they gave to like we tend to do in our culture, but our different lived experience with that, I actually think it's really good that we don't let anything be hidden, because that's also part of the culture that we are living in. Let's shine a light. So ordinarily, we would have an AGM to share the ins and outs of the Marion Vineyard finances, but who else here actually loves a spreadsheet more than me and Simon? Not many of you, I imagine. So, with the desire of transparency and encouragement, I'm going to run us through, just briefly, some of the pie graphs of Marion Vineyard finances in light of what we actually learned last year about generous giving. It's not an AGM. It will be shorter with a totally different focus.
Thanks, Kit.
So, this simple little chart here shows income and expenditure. The bright blue is the amount of money that Marion has had received in the accounts between the 1st of July last year and yesterday. The purple is the amount of money that we have spent as a fellowship between the 1st of July last year and yesterday. As you can see, there's a bit of an imbalance. We're spending a little more than we are receiving. But what are we actually giving to? I know you won't be able to see much of that. It's written quite small and it gets a bit blurry as it sends through the projector. But I can tell you a lot of those little slivers there are our missions, our gifts, and then the rest of it is all daily operating expenses. Before I go too much deeper into that, I just want to remind you that whether it's a big church or a small church, the same jobs need to be done. Just like whether you have a big house or a small house. As a family, you still need to have meals cooked, you still need to clean the toilet, and you still need to vacuum the floors. Same jobs need doing. Same as with church. We have a very little church, and a lot of these jobs require full-time energy. We have the blessing here of many people who donate their time and energy. It is done because of their generous hearts. So if you are a volunteer, thank you. We need you. Marion Vineyard also does not have a full-time pastor. Maria is paid only 2 days a week, and she does a full week worth of pastoring. Toe isn't paid at all, and he does most of a week of pastoring between his optometry. I'm paid 1 day, and Holly is paid a half a day. What you see up there, those two big chunks on the pie graph, as well as a couple of the medium-sized chunks, they're all wages related. So this graph shows that just over half of our expenses are on wages, but I wanted to put that into perspective for you, because we don't even have full-time payment for anybody, but we have a full-time workload. So, for those who make up that time in volunteering, thank you. So, to put it into perspective again, the blue is our income. The purple represents wages. And the rest are our other little bits that we have to pay. There's insurances, there's leadership payments, things that we send our prospective leaders to, and so sometimes we pay for them to go to those. We pay their tickets. We have youth group ministry, pastoral care ministry. We have kids' church. All of those things are covered there. So we have a shortfall of income. That's clear. I'm sharing this with you as a board member. The board is responsible for the good stewardship of Marion Vineyard funds, among other things. And we've been doing our best, but this is not sustainable. We are in the world, we're not of it. But because we're in it, we need money. We need money because that's how the world operates. We need funds as a church to operate smoothly, to be generous in the way we operate, and to do all of that stress-free. And you know what? God actually wants his people to have more than enough of everything they need, including finances. Why? Well, to do his kingdom work. If God's big plan is blessing and faithfulness, then we at Marion Vineyard want to receive that blessing and faithfulness, but we also want to be a vehicle to bring that blessing and faithfulness to others. Sometimes God's promises can seem far away, but we see fruitfulness in the beginning of the context of barrenness. Hello. Let's go up from here. The Marion Vineyard vision over here is to influence communities and to impact nations. So for those of you who came to camp, if you were there on the last day, you would know that we all gave feedback about what we thought Marion Vineyard priorities should be for the remainder of this year and into the future. And beautifully, three of the biggest things that came out of that were youth, uni students, and migrants. They are all outward looking. They all match our vision as a fellowship of influencing communities and impacting nations. And all of those require funds. So when we give through the offering here at Marion Vineyard, whether that's online or with cash, we want to give not only toward operating expenses, but actually to the areas of ministry that we're not seeing much of up there. What if we could dream a little bigger and add more of our visionary expenses to our upcoming budget? For those who are not financially inclined, a budget is where we write down what we anticipate and hope to utilise the funds of Marion Vineyard for as good stewards for next financial year. So we look at our anticipated income and therefore how much we can spend. What if our gifts, missions, and ministry expenditure were more than half this graph? What if we were known as a generous church in our community? We have honourable desires to meet community need. But how do we get there? In the upcoming and almost finalised budget for next year, we have a shortfall that we anticipate of about $30,000. It's better than this year. So, if we're going to close the gap, we need, in addition to what we're already giving, we need another $30,000, which in my brain, straight away, that is too big a number for me. However, We have approximately, I'll wait for the slide to come up so that I'm not ahead of you. We have approximately 45 regular attendees in our fellowship. That's including children, and I'm going to include the children for the purpose of this explanation, just to make a point, okay? $30,000 short, 45 people regularly attending. And if every week we each felt free to give just a little bit more, how much would it need to be? $15 per person. I put the maths up there so you can check it if you don't trust me. Okay? If every single person, including the children, okay, I'm adding the children into this, if they all could give $15 extra a week, we'd get up to par. The money that would come in is what we'd be expecting to spend. It wouldn't mean we have a profit of any kind that we can then add to missionary stuff, but that's okay. Let's get to zero first. Let's aim not too high, but expect high from God. So, I want to recognise that every family, every individual in this fellowship is at a different season. Some of us are in a position of having not much. Some of us are in a position of having plenty. Some of us give as a family, including children. Some of us give as an individual within a family. We each have our own situation and scenario that we're in. And so at this point, if you haven't already, the Australian culture shuts down. We start feeling like this is a guilt trip sermon. It's not, please let me assure you. I want to go back to the beginning now. Our God is a generous God, and he gives freely to his people to abound in every good work. God loves a cheerful giver. Wherever you are placed, whatever situation you are in. And that goes for anyone who's visiting with us today. If you're not part of the Marion Vineyard family, but you attend elsewhere or you don't attend regularly, but you know Jesus, God's mission for all believers, for all the world, is to give generously. So, I have enough time. I'm going to give you a little personal testimony. With the exception of the last maybe 2 years, I spent about 15 years on the poverty line. My income was incredibly low. And until that point, I had 4 children at home with me and I was a single mum. It was my joy to take what I received and give it away. Because I've known for a long time that my joy only comes from being in relationship with Jesus. And being in relationship with Jesus, I can't help but want to do his work. I know that everything I have, even if it's only a little bit, I've always known that it's not mine anyway. I'm actually just borrowing it. God's given it to me to use and to give away. And so even when my little bit came in, I would pray about it and say, okay, Lord, how much this week? It wasn't always the same amount, even though my income was regular, the same amount. But I would pray about how much this week. Some weeks were bigger, some weeks were smaller, and I would go with what God prompted me, and I would give, and whatever was left is what met the budget. On paper, that never added up. Because even with what I had coming in, even if I gave nothing to church, My bills were always higher than what came in. Always, every week. But you know, we live in God's economy and He makes it work. Because we as a family of five, we could have takeaway almost every fortnight. Even if it was just hot chips. We could still have takeaway. God still blessed us. We had people come and randomly give us groceries. People would say, here you go, have some money to pay a bill. That's not why I gave my money away. But wow, God met us in the middle of that. And so if you're in a place of not much, I want to encourage you that God will still bless your heart when you give with a joyful heart. The heart of Marion Vineyard, influencing communities, impacting nations, was confirmed by our camp brainstorm. And I'm not here today to demand of you to give more finance. I'm not here to guilt you on how much you do or don't give. There are some people here who already are giving abundantly from whatever they have. Thank you. Bless you. God sees you. But I want to invite every single one of you to consider the joy of giving generously. Would you be invited, know that you are invited to come along and be a part of the good work that Marion Vineyard family wants to do? Be a part of the kingdom work that we as a family so desire to participate in together as community. I'm inviting you to revisit, or perhaps for the first time even. Would you ask God what He wants you to freely and generously give on a regular basis? So whatever that looks like for you. Can we close the gap in Marion Vineyard finances to ensure that our fellowship can continue thriving for years to come? Let's collectively help Marion Vineyard staff and board focus not on the everyday ins and outs, the operating expenses that we have. Let's let those things just happen and concentrate on the stuff like youth, like our uni students, like our migrants. Let's get into the fun stuff with God. Let gracious generosity be an outflow of our intimacy with and worship of our God. Let's give as we decide in our hearts, as prompted by our generous God. We don't want to do this reluctantly or under compulsion. If you are feeling compelled, then don't. Take it to God. Can you hold it? Can you freely say, God, this is yours? That's the time to give. Do it cheerfully for the kingdom work within our community. Finance is not an easy topic to talk about, and it can be a bit of a downer. It shouldn't be. It should never be, because we live in God's economy. We live in His kingdom. And His desire is that we have enough of everything, not just as a church, but you too. I hadn't planned this, but if you are feeling like you're in a place of lack, like you haven't seen provision from God, if you're feeling like there's something in the way of His release over you, can I invite you to stand? Because we want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. Because I've seen His miracles. And if you want to know some of those miracles, come and see me afterwards. I have so many of them. In those moments of absolute desperation, of driving my car for days on empty before I told God I can't stretch my faith in him any further, he'd better pay for whatever I put in my tank, and I find the money on the ground when I get out at the fuel station. All right, I have seen miracle after miracle of financial provision. I want to pray for you. If you need that, would you stand? Yeah. If you're not standing, would you close your eyes and pray with me? Would you come into agreement with me? Holy Spirit, come. Father, you are a generous, generous God. Your desire is to see us flourish. So, Father, I ask for those people that are standing now, would you come, Holy Spirit, and give them breakthrough in their financial freedom? Would you meet them in their need right now? Would you let them know that they are seen by you? That your promises are true? And that the storehouses of heaven are ours to take from because we are your children. Would you let it freely flow today, Lord? And as your financial provision flows to these people who are standing, Lord, I pray too that the hearts of everyone else would be open to know your graciousness in what you have already blessed them with. Holy Spirit, would you speak to each one and give them a heart for your kingdom, for your mission, for your ministry, Lord? Would you prompt each one in their generosity to others as well? And so we bless you, Jesus, and we thank you for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.
That was good. Now, for transparency within us, Melanie to talk about finance. She just prompted by the Spirit and actually asked us for permission to share because finance is a tough topic. Hey, I just want to not double up on what Melanie say. From time to time, God will put a scripture on a pastor or leader, and then, you know, it's something I meditate on when I was in Indonesia. I came back and I share with you 1 Corinthians 13, the last verse, and then the first verse. The last verse is obviously the famous chapter, the love chapter that a lot of culture read about the love, the human love that is so ideal. And then it finished with three things remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest is love. That's chapter 13 it finished off. And then in verse 1 of chapter 14, he encouraged the church. It's not individual. It's always the church. Pursue love. Pursue the love that I talk about. Because three things remain: faith, hope, and love. The greatest is love. So I believe if you pursue love the way God wants you intended, you will always have faith. Faith to believe that God will protect you, will provide you. You will always have hope, the eternal hope that God will come through for you. And you always live a life of love. So pursue love. I want us to pursue love. But then Paul also add on, eagerly, earnestly zealously with a fire in your heart, go after the spiritual gifts. The spiritual gifts that encourages, the spiritual gifts that's better than human effort, especially prophecy. Now, prophecy, the first thing is learning to listen and see what the Spirit is doing. It's not about talking or speaking. It's always listen and see what the Spirit's doing. All right, Habakkuk the prophet in chapter 2, he said, I'm gonna get up there in my rampart, which is like a watchtower. I'm going to see what God is going to say to me. All right? He's not saying, I'm going to hear or listen to what God said to me. I'm going to see what God will say, because God's word manifests visibly. All right? So I want to encourage you to pursue love, but I want just to highlight, all right, it's all about God. For God loves a cheerful giver. So if you want to be in that space, be a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace, it's all about grace, not your works, abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times. Cover everything, man. All right? Cover everything. Whatever situation it is, you get all sufficiency so that you may abound in every good work. That's what Melanie is saying. The money is for ministry and mission. All right? One more. Melanie show about the blue and then the purple. The purple is the wages and all that. The wages, we don't want to increase in it. It's all the little bits. For example, like this year in Melbourne leadership, we only send one person. Maria and I didn't go. Last year we sent about five. All you youth, you know, we just send you guys, pay for you. This year we could only afford one. Even Maria can't go. Maria and I can't go. Because it's not about us. We want to build the people and we need money. So would you pray and consider God will speak to you during this worship time, this next two songs. Then we'll do communion together. Thanks.